When the imagination ignites, you are pulled into either a world of the fantastic or a world of the dark and twisted. But not everything that is dark and twisted is fiction. And even old stories are based upon some truth. That truth gets recorded in the Pluto Archives.
I remember the day like it was yesterday. I woke up early as I had been anticipating questioning a new suspect we had brought in for a case I had been working on. This case had become very public. I was getting a lot of pressure from the powers above me to find a suspect, thus putting an end to the fear the community was feeling. Our job as the police is to protect and serve. The media was not placing us in a very favorable light at this time, but rather insinuating that we were incompetent and that we were neither protecting nor serving the community. You see, there had been a rash of killings within the last few months, and we felt that we might have a serial killer on our hands. Now that is something we would never let the media know. We felt with the new evidence we had just uncovered by accident that the killer had begun his spree about 15 years before. The murders seem to all have the same MO. The victims were females between the ages of 20 and 45. Though the older females had a younger quality to them, and the younger victims seemed older. At first, the type of victims taken were those no one would miss. The indigent and the orphaned. No one would arouse suspicion if they went missing. Then more recently, they became soccer moms and college students. Not the usual victim. These were people the community would notice if they went missing. The only thing that alerted us to the fact that the killer may have had a long history is when a construction crew found some bones at a worksite. The bones belonged to a woman who was reported missing 15 years ago. However, when we excavated the skeletal remains, we saw that the ulna and radial bones had been severed cleanly across, and hand bones were missing when the skeleton was pieced back together. Normally, this wouldn't have raised an eyebrow. However, all the bodies we found recently also had their hands removed. This tidbit of information was not in the media. The current question that was eating at me was, why was he being sloppy now? For 15 years, we had no idea that he even existed. How many of the missing persons were his handiwork? No pun intended. How many bodies had been out there waiting for us to find? They were all questions I would be keeping at the back of my mind as I questioned the suspect. When I arrived at the station, the only other detective there was my partner Mark. We had been on the beat together when we first graduated from the academy. Partners after that, and then colleagues when we made detective. Him 1 year after me. Now we were working on this case together. We'd love to play good cop, bad cop. Each of us changing the roles with every perpetrator to keep them on their toes. But today? Today was different. We were both somber, as we knew we needed to be careful and not reveal too much information in the questioning process. There were a lot of the details about the case that no one knew but us, and we like to keep it that way. At 8 a.m., an officer led the suspect named Carl Blumberg into the questioning room. We watched him behind a two-way glass mirror for a good 30 minutes before entering the room. Carl looked like he hadn't had a shower in days. He had more of a 6 o'clock shadow than a 5 o'clock shadow. Though his teeth were perfectly straight and white, despite his disheveled appearance, he carried himself with dignity, which is odd for someone that commits multiple homicides. The intelligence in his eyes was mesmerizing. He didn't fidget or scan the room idly. He placed his folded hands on the desk calmly and stared at the mirror, like he could see us on the other side examining him. Once we realized that he was not going to change his behavior, we entered the room. I slammed the manila folder on the table hard. Carl remained unmoved, and I started the interrogation.
I am Detective Hardcastle, and this is my partner, Detective Whitehall.
Carl looked from me to Mark in acknowledgement, but he did not respond. I should probably tell you how we found Carl. As I stated before, the killer was becoming sloppy. We were having more and more missing people reports, and then the bodies started to surface. The first one was found exactly 3 months ago by a jogger in the park. The body was not weighed down properly, and it had floated to the surface. The jogger had seen it when running his morning route. The next body was found by the garbage man when they were collecting trash from a dumpster. The woman's arm flung out when the refuse container was lifted into the air. The garbage man had vomited when he realized it was a human arm missing a hand. He had thought the body had been cut into pieces. We did not dissuade him from that idea. Those were the first two bodies discovered. Since then, we had found 4 more, 6 bodies in total, in just 3 months. The body in the dumpster was a student at the local college. We just happened to find the footage of the girl climbing into Carl's car. That was the last time she was seen. We ran the license plate from the car and the footage, and to our excitement, it was registered to a Carl Blumberg. When we searched Carl's house, we found video footage of, well, you can use your imagination. I opened the manila folder, revealing photographs of the victim, and turned the picture toward him. Carl's eyes widened just slightly, and a small smile escaped his lips.
Do you want to tell me about these?
Carl tore his eyes from the folder and looked up at me and replied,
What is it exactly that you want to know, Detective?
His voice was even and calm, and he continued,
Obviously you know who they are, and I'm assuming that you know their cause of death. What exactly do you want me to say, Detective, that you don't already know?
His tone was not cocky. It was more matter of fact. Mark pushed his body off the wall and jumped into the conversation.
What we are trying to understand, Mr. Blumberg. Carl? Can I call you Carl?
The suspect just nodded. And Mark continued.
What we are trying to understand is why, Carl? Why would an educated man, such as yourself, stoop to such a low level, a common criminal, and murder these women?
Common. As you can see from the photographs, I am not a common criminal at all. I am more of an exceptional type. Wouldn't you agree?
Carl responded. At that moment, Mark's cell phone buzzed, causing him to leave the interrogation room. This is a technique that we sometimes use so that the remaining detective can establish rapport with the suspect, making them feel comfortable and drawing them out. Mark had suggested that I stay with the suspect this time. I can only assume that he would retreat to the room with the two-way mirror for observation. I continued,
Carl, why did you cut their hands off? Every picture in this folder all had their hands removed with a precision cut through the ulna and radial bone, per the coroner.
Carl began riffling through the folder. He stopped at the picture of the skeleton we found at the construction site and began to examine it. He turned the picture vertically, then horizontally, and then back vertically again. He placed the picture back on the stack.
Where did you get this?
He whispered almost inaudibly. I had not planned for this type of response and answered truthfully.
A construction crew found the remains when they broke ground on the train station.
Carl just nodded.
This is not my work. This is my mentor's work. You see how low the cut is on that wrist? I myself cannot cut that close to the wrist. I must go up a centimeter. That is truly beautiful work right there.
The shock on my face was evident, as was my speechlessness. So he continued.
All great artists have a mentor. Detective Hardcastle, even the greats like Da Vinci and Monet.
My voice finally returned.
Are you telling me that you did not do this?
He nodded in agreement.
That is exactly what I am telling you, Detective. I would love to claim credit for this work, but that would be like forging a Picasso and trying to take the credit. A true artist knows that this is not my work.
My mind started racing. We could have two serial killers.
Why now?
Pardon me?
Carl looked at me quizzically.
Why now? Why let us find the bodies now?
I approached the suspect carefully.
I have never hidden my work, Detective. I first started with my mentor. He taught me how to slowly torture a person to obtain all their secrets. At that time, I was only the photographer of his masterpieces. He taught me how to lure my prey in, make them feel comfortable and trusting. A well-dressed, educated, good-looking man has no problem approaching unsuspecting women. You flash a charming smile to ease their discomfort. You compliment them while looking at them in the eyes and they become putty in your hands. Have you ever done that, Detective? Used a charming smile to get what you want?
I assumed his question was rhetorical and let him continue.
Once you have their trust, you can use a little thing called chloroform. It puts your victim right to sleep, making them easier to relocate. Every artist needs a studio detective, and I am no exception.
I didn't want to break the spell in the room, though I needed to know about his mentor he had just mentioned.
So was your mentor an artist too?
He frowned at me and replied forcefully,
I just stated as much, didn't I? My mentor was a real genius. People naturally trusted him, and he knew how to use that trust against them.
A far-off look came over Carl's face, and he continued,
You know, I think he must have had some medical training. He knew exactly where to cut without killing them too quickly. His surgical skills, in my opinion, are legendary. He always made such exquisite art out of a corpse. It is too bad that you could not see his works of art. That was my job in the beginning, you see. Taking beautiful pictures of his art, he has a way with a scalpel. He created such beautiful masterpieces out of flesh.
He talked about the torturing of human beings with such callousness that I was starting to get sick to my stomach.
Though why he never let others see his masterpieces is beyond me. That is why I let you find them, Detective. I could not deprive the world of my art. My mentor was always so secretive, hiding the bodies so that they would never be found, only keeping the pictures that I had taken in remembrance of the beauty he had created.
I knew I needed to keep him talking about his mentor. So I asked,
Does your mentor know that you have not hidden your prey? He must not be too happy with you.
He looked at me knowingly.
Yes. Yes, he does. And you are right, Detective. He is not happy with me. You see, he was very adamant that if I wanted to continue to create beautiful works of art like him, I needed to be discerning of my prey and how I dispose of them. I know what you're thinking, Detective, that he did not teach me to be discerning and use the homeless or drug-addicted canvases, but he did. He was very adamant about it. However, how can you produce truly beautiful art with a broken or damaged canvas? You can't. To make it truly stunning, you must have a flawless canvas. Don't you agree, Detective?
The look of horror was evident on my face. I'm sure of it. This would explain why Carl had not chosen orphans or degenerates for his prey. At that moment, a knock came from the glass. I waved a hand in a, not now motion and continued with the suspect.
Tell me about your mentor, Carl. How does one meet a mentor?
Oh, that is a good story. I was younger than I am now, obviously, and impressionable. I had been volunteering at the local animal shelter, and I wanted easy access to animals for my, let's call them experiments. What better way than to volunteer? No one would suspect when an old dog passed away. He had come in and adopted a dog. I like to think he saw my potential at that time, as we both could use our positions to find new canvases. But it wasn't until my neighbors reported their pet missing that he realized I had the same predisposition for art as he did. He recruited me to photograph his work, and in the process taught me everything that he knew. It was just me and him for a long while. He always said that a significant other would get in the way of his work.
The look of admiration was beaming from Carl's face. Mark knocked on the glass again.
Carl, your story is fascinating. Would you like a bottle of water?
Carl smiled at the compliment and nodded yes to the refreshment. I left the room quickly with every intention of meeting Mark in the mirror room. I continued to the mirror observation room with a multitude of thoughts swimming in my head. Right now, I knew that Carl was the murderer of the 6 bodies we had recently found. However, I also knew that someone else entirely was responsible for the body at the construction site. And who knew how many more missing persons? That perp would have to have some surgical knowledge, maybe a year of medical school. They also would have to have a job that the public trusted, like a teacher or a fireman. They would have adopted a dog over 15 years ago, so the dog would have already passed away. Carl never mentioned that his mentor had a spouse and that he is still single. My thoughts were interrupted as I entered the room where Mark had been watching. He seemed agitated as I entered.
Do you believe him? That murdering POS?
Mark asked. I looked at him questioningly. His impatience was evident.
Do you believe him that he had a mentor?
I looked at the mirror, seeing Carl on the other side with his hands folded and placed neatly back on the table.
I think I do. What?
Mark responded in exasperation.
Why would you believe that punk. He's just trying to lead you astray and take the focus off of him.
I shook my head.
No, I think he is proud of his work. He has such admiration for his mentor. But what I can't figure out...
My voice trailed off. Carl had said that he met him again when his neighbors had called him about their missing pet. He and Mark had done a ton of these calls when they were just beat cops. The look of recognition started to enter his eyes. His mentor was a cop. That would be the perfect profession. Women would be more prone to trust a police officer than any other profession. Carl had stated as much. He has a medical school background, or at least some medical training. I just had to think. Did anyone change careers from medical to criminal justice? The look of realization crossed my face. There was one person I knew that had gotten a dog about 15 years ago. There was also only one person who loved photography and was still single. This same person had changed his major from pre-med to criminal justice. He had said he just didn't have the stomach for it. For cadavers, that is. This person liked them alive. He loved watching the surgery shows on TLC. I looked up at Mark with recognition in my eyes. His face changed when he saw I knew who the mentor was. A sinister smile crossed Mark's face and the butt of his pistol came down upon my head. All I could hear was,
"You caught me."
Then all I could see was darkness.
If you have enjoyed our podcast, please let us know by liking, subscribing, and telling all your friends. See you next time on the
Pluto Archives.
This story was written by A.D. Morris, narrated by Kevin Morris.
Produced and directed by Noah J. Morris.
This has been a Puka production.